Numbers chapter 9. Yahweh spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Let the children of Israel keep the Passover in its appointed season. On the 14th day of this month at evening you shall keep it in its appointed time. According to all its statutes and ordinances you shall keep it. So then, what that shows is that they were to remember the fact that they had been saved out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, and that God had brought them through the Red Sea. And I think what we have our equivalent in the breaking of bread, that remembers how Jesus died for us, remembers how we were brought out from Egypt and saved by the blood of the Lamb. And in Hebrews, Paul says that we are the church of the firstborns. Well, he's alluding to that because the firstborns were the ones who should have died in the last plague, but were saved by the blood of the Lamb. So, we remember how Jesus died for us, and also I think we remember how we personally were brought out of this world. Now, even if you were born to a believing mum and dad, all the same, there was a point when we were in Egypt, because Paul says that baptism is like Israel going through the Red Sea. They were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The cloud was just water, water both sides of them, water on top of them. And he sees that as looking forward to our baptism into Jesus. And so we have been saved. We have to remember that. And all these thoughts come together when we break bread. So they kept the Passover in the first month on the 14th day of the month at evening. But there were some men who were unclean because of the dead body of a man, so that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and Aaron, and they said, We are unclean because of the dead body of a man. Why are we kept back, that we may not offer the offering of Yahweh in its appointed time among the children of Israel? Moses replied, Wait, that I may hear what Yahweh will command concerning you. Well, sometimes people ask us questions and we truly don't know the answer. And there's no shame in saying, I don't know the answer. Let me pray about it. And that's what effectively Moses did. And so God spoke. If any man of you or of your generations is unclean by reason of a dead body or is on a journey far away, he shall still keep the Passover, but in the second month. On the 14th day at evening they shall kill it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break a bone of it. Remember how not a bone of Jesus was broken on the cross. He was like the Passover lamb. According to all the law of the Passover, they shall keep it. So God wants us to, as far as possible, do what he wants. And if, okay, you're unclean, well, that principle takes preference over the command to keep the Passover. Or if you're on a far journey, well, you can't keep the Passover, but always there is a way found. And so, in principle, even though we may fail, and even though we may be unclean, or we can't actually keep the letter of the law, God is willing and eager to have us keep the spirit of it, and he will, by all means, try to find a way for us to do so. So it's not that God is like some stone-faced God of the Greeks or whatever. He says, right, this is the law. You either get to it and keep it or you don't. This is the bar, you've got to jump. If you don't, well, you don't. He is more eager to accept us. But the man who is clean or not on a journey and fails to keep the Passover, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. So then that shows how serious God is about his desire that we should continue to identify with his work. If a foreigner lives among you and wants to keep the Passover, according to the statute of the Passover, and according to all its ordinances, so shall he do. You shall have one statute both for the foreigner and for him who is born in the land. So if a foreigner wanted to keep the Passover, they could. On the first Passover night, they were not supposed to allow the uncircumcised to join in. But I think that was one of the commands just for that first night. Generally, any foreigner, any Gentile who wanted to could partake. And that's the same with what we do when we break bread. If other people want to join in and celebrate God's work, they should be welcome. And if you go to a synagogue today, most synagogues will warmly welcome a Gentile to come and keep the Passover. There's no idea of sort of being guilty and not being allowed to because you're not good enough or whatever. On the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, and at evening it was over the tabernacle, as if it were the appearance of fire, until morning. Thus it was continually, the cloud covered it, and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tent, then after that the children of Israel took their journey, and in the place where the cloud remained, there the children of Israel encamped. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel travelled, and at the commandment of the Lord they camped. As long as the cloud remained on the tabernacle, they remained camped. Well, this really does show God's great sensitivity, because the cloud was like a God holding an umbrella over them to keep the heat off them in the desert in the daytime, but it gets very cold in deserts at night. And so at night it was a pillar of fire to keep them warm. So God was really so amazingly thoughtful for them. So then if our baptism was like our coming out of Egypt, going through the Red Sea, so their walk through the wilderness is like our journey to the kingdom. And God will show himself so thoughtful for us. Maybe you have to think about it a little bit, and it's not until you've been traveling for a bit in the wilderness and you look back and then you see how gentle God was with me. And how caring he was. And also in the end, there was a sense of direction because they had no maps. They had no navigation. They'd never been in that area before. How did they know where to go? Well, God led them. And so it is with us. We really are as little children before God, and we don't know our path through life. People think they do. Oh, yes, I shall do my exams in this specialism, and I shall get a career in this, and I shall live in that country, and I shall do this, and I shall do that. So you think, but there's a higher hand at work in our lives. And on the journey to the kingdom, it isn't like that. We have no real clue, but God will guide us, but we've got to follow his guidance. And when you work out, actually, all the different places they stopped in, they're in Numbers chapter 33, they stopped in quite a number of different places, but if you work it out, on average, they were there for about a year, or more than a year in each place, so they weren't moving all the time. They would have settled down. It's obviously a very big job to set up the camp and set up the tabernacle. They were about a year on average, or more, in each place. So sometimes the cloud was from evening until morning, and when the cloud was taken up in the morning, they travelled by day and by night when the cloud was taken up. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud stayed on the tabernacle remaining on it, the children of Israel remained encamped. But when it was taken up, they travelled. So it shows then that sometimes, yes, it was just a couple of days, but other times it was over a year. So there was always this element of uncertainty. Will we be moved on or will we not? And so we all hanker for certainty, for stability. And in our lives, it's not like that. You don't know when the next move is going to come. I don't just mean moving between houses or emigrating maybe between countries. I mean just overall in life, you just don't know. But the comfort is that our lives are in God's hand and he wants to get us to his kingdom.